Mike Buseglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to RunCast. We've been away for a few weeks, and it was good to be chatting again. Cynthia and I and our two youngest were away on holiday, Annie, who's 14, and Adrian, who's 22. Annie just graduated from middle school, and Adrian just graduated from college. Annie pitched about 2 years ago. We were having dinner one night with a friend who had just done her second walk across England. It's called the Coast to Coast. It's a very famous walk. You put one foot in the Irish Sea, and 17 days later, you put your other foot in the North Sea, and you do 205 miles. Beautiful countryside. So she was showing pictures and talking all about it. And our daughter, who was sixth grade at the time, came out of the house after dinner, heading home. She goes, "I'd love to do something like that." Well, we did kind of a poor man's version of it. She did a lot of the planning, actually really interesting, but it was a kind of a graduation gift treat to the two young ones and set a fantastic time. Cool weather, footpaths everywhere you can imagine, public footpaths all along the coast. Absolutely gorgeous scenery all along Dorset and Kent and Devon down along the channel. Beautiful. There's chalk cliffs and rock outcroppings and tunnels and caves and along the ocean. And then we worked our way into Cornwall, which is one of the most beautiful places in my 55 years I've ever seen, my entire life. And then into the Cotswolds, beautiful honey-colored stone villages, beautiful. And then finished up in London. Then we took the channel to England, to France, excuse me, and spent some time with my parents touring around France in the French countryside. They have an old 400-year-old farmhouse
Wow.
in southern Normandy. They've been renovating for 20 years. They bought it 20 years ago for peanuts, literally. I mean, it was like something out of 100 years ago, which you would have bought land in
Right.
the States. 20 years ago, they bought this old place, and they've been fixing up. Beautiful. Had a great time. So we're glad to be back, but at the same time, it was a really, really fantastic a trip of hiking, running in the morning with Cynthia, and then hiking throughout the day with our children. Really tremendous. You know, it goes without saying that one of the big, state of affairs, I always like to talk about at the beginning, heat is the theme, and I can't reiterate enough how to be safe in it, how to be careful. It's the most dangerous weather of the year for anyone who is participating in anything strenuous outside, and obviously running and walking. So I'm going to go over some tips here in a second, which is going to seem redundant, but there's so many people that continue to need reminding about this. The Webs are in town. Who are the Webs?
That's
Alan
right.
and Julia. That's kind of a cool thing. Not kind of. It's a very cool thing. And very down-to-earth, talented athletes. Obviously, Alan, the famous name in track, one of the most famous names over the last decade, starting with an incredible high school career. I was always in awe of him because there was so much pressure on him from the get-go. He's going to be the kid to break the four-minute mile. No one had broken the four-minute mile since 1968, and Alan Webb was in high school from about 97, 98 through about 2001, somewhere in there probably, I think. And the kid was good right off the bat. He ran like a 4:23 miles freshman year and just kept blowing it down.
Wow.
He kept getting close, and pressure. And I thought, how can this young person, of course, I didn't know him at the time. Now I have gotten to know him, realize very humble, a very nice guy, very, very personable, very into the sport in a recreational way, interested in other people's running and even much slower runners. But anyway, I thought, how's this kid going to handle it? And he did. He did. He broke the four-minute mile. Then he set the high school, broke Jim Ryan's record eventually, high school record. And then went on in 2007, he was the number one ranked miler in the world.
Wow.
He went to the 2004 Olympics. He was just fresh out of high school, really, at that point. And didn't make the 2008 team, and has come to Charlottesville to train to try and make the 2012 team, which I think he's got a good chance of doing that. If he can keep his injuries at bay, he's in the right community. So we're welcoming both he and his really nice wife, Julia, who's a former steeplechaser and doing some distance running herself now. High school camps are alive, and it's in any fall sport, you know that this is the time of year,
right?
Time of the summer, and a lot of the area high schoolers are are heading to their own high school running camps or camps that are UVA has their camp this coming weekend. It's not for UVA athletes. It's UVA counselors. Mary Jane, the coach over at UVA, is putting it on. And they've got quite a crew of high school kids coming in for that camp. So it's that time of year. It's actually a quiet time for racing. We have a little lull in the action. It's nice to get a little break for the volunteers. Nice for folks to get a little break with racing because a lot of people traveling this time of year, holidays, things like that. So we're in a quieter time with the racing scene locally. Some really neat stories. Probably the biggest one. Well, not probably the biggest one. No slight to anyone else, but Donnie Coward, our RMR steeplechaser. We've talked about him before. He was sixth in the nation at the USA Track and Field Championships. He's over in Finland on a Scandinavian tour. You do really well at the USA Track and Field Championships. Quite often you get invites to participate in these European meets. It's a notch above. A lot of Olympians at these meets. It's a chance at international competition to run several meets in a short period of time. So he's in Lapinlahti, Finland on Saturday was his first race. And he opened with an 8:26. It's a big 3.5 wow. second PR. To get under 8:30 is very impressive. And, Mike, to put it in terms of how good it is, he's only 3 seconds off the Olympic A standard. Now, what the Olympic A standard is, it's the standard you have to reach. If you make the Olympic team for your country, but you don't run the A standard, you don't get to go to the Olympics. So he's that close, and the A standard is pretty stringent. He's fourth in the race. I'm going to read an excerpt from his email here real quick. It was pretty cool. Here he is, this kid from Lynchburg, never been overseas, VMI grad, and he's over in Finland running this steeplechase meet. And he really was hurting early on, not early on, because he was, I don't know, about 3 or 4 laps into it, he starts to realize, I made this trip,
right,
come all this way, spend some money. Of course, the team supports him, but it's still a big deal. I'm going to make this thing worth it. I'm in this international sure. competition setting. So he goes, I was hurting with 3 laps to go, so I told myself, just me it to 2. Then at 2, I told myself, you can go another 400. And then on the bell lap, I was building lots of lactic acid. I started to break it down in small pieces for the last lap. I told myself, just run fast to the next barrier. Barrier, of course, is the hurdle in the steeplechase. Now go to the next barrier. Last water, keep it together. Then for the last barrier, it was a close. The lead leg heel scraped across the top, and I was home clean. You know, a lot of times these guys will trip on that last barrier. That, remember Stephanie Garcia we talked about?
Yeah, that's right.
And what a shame. You're a little more tired, and you're pushing it a little bit more. I was pushing really hard to the line. A Finn pulled up next to me, and we were neck and neck for 30 meters. At the line, I leaned very hard and got him for 4th place. I saw the leader ran 8:16, and I knew I wasn't that far back. Of course, his PR had been 8:30 at 1, so he was trying to break 8:30. I ran to the Jumbotron and waited. Show me the time. Nothing. I waited and waited. I ran over to a guy on the track and asked, What time did I get? Pointing to my watch because he didn't speak English. They continued to show the replay of the winner on the Jumbotron and my lean for 4th, which was cool, but I wanted to know the time. I needed to know my time. Then as the guy is on the radio asking for my time, it pops up on the screen. My very first sub 8:30, 8:26.38. A calm came over me and a huge smile on my face. I was so happy, and all I could think was, trip worth it. So, you know, congrats to him. Pretty
That's
big
great.
Deal. He's got a few more races in Finland and then one in Sweden. And we're really rooting for this guy. I think we've talked about him before. We call him Donnie the Kid Coward because he is so, so short. And I was teasing him. I said, it's your secret weapon, buddy. You get on the starting line. They go, he's a little high schooler, middle schooler here. And he's tenacious and as tough as anybody else.
Very cool.
It is a sport that tends to see a taller kind of a person. So he's a bit of a unique commodity out there, and we really think the world of him. Rebecca Garson, she's a local race walker. She competed in the World Masters Championships. Those are those you've seen them before. They almost look like they're waddling along, and they're clipping along, walking at 9, 10, 11 minute per mile pace, walking, if you can
That's
imagine how fast it is. It was in Sacramento, California. A few weeks ago, she won a gold medal in the 10K and the 20K. Congrats to her. She's in the 45 to 49 age division. Erin Pluzogan, we talked about her before. She goes to Worcester College. She's a Western grad. She's also one of my former Sunday school students. Wonderful kid. Well-rounded kid. Great grade. She's got a perfect score in college so far after 2 years.
Wow.
And does a lot of volunteer work in her community, nationally and then internationally. She was honored third team academic All-American. Just got word from her father recently, so congrats to her. Fairview 5K over the weekend. 150 folks showed up for a cancer run over at the Fairview Swim Club, normally reserved for swimming, but this time they opened up for their annual foot race in July. Brian Kayser, 1748, he stopped the clock as a male winner, and Devin Burge, only 14 years old. That's a young winner. She was the Blue Ribbon recipient for the females in 2147. And then second of the series of the sprint triathlons down at Walnut Creek, the Shasta Tri Club puts on, saw something we hardly ever see. These triathlons tend to be heavy with out-of-towners. We see most of our local events, Women's 4-Miler, Shasta 10-Miler, Valentine's Run, the Fairview Run, 90% are locals.
Right.
These triathlons, the other way around, it's only about 20% locals, 25-30 tops, most of them are out of town. All five, the first five women across the finish line were local. Amy Robbins won it, Kate Lucas, second, Robin Scheuer, Vicky Chandeville, and Nicola Radcliffe. So that was kind of a unique oddity of sorts and really pretty cool stuff to have it local winners. And no slight to the out-of-towners, but I kind of like it when our locals win
absolutely.
Our local events.
Yeah, I agree.
The 10-miler and the 4-miler. Greg Romali, he's also local. He was the male champion of West Radetzky, who helped organize the event, was third. Getting it right department this week. My hat's off to many of the folks that I'm involved with, and it's not coming from me necessarily, the Boston Marathon group I coached out the year, the RMR Elite Kids, post-collegiate, the Olympic Trials Kids, and then Shasta Track Club group I helped coach. They paid attention to that heat wave last week. They were smart. And this is what the types of things they did. They cut back their mileage. So if they're supposed to do a 12-mile long run, they cut it back to 8. Smart. They cut back the intensity. Instead of their normal pace of 8:30 or 9 minutes, whatever, they handicapped it right off the bat and said, I'm going to run slower. And they got very comfortable with that so that they weren't putting themselves into a deficit because the heat is such a huge, huge negative factor. They ran earlier. My RMR group, those guys normally meet at 7 or 6:45, they met at 6:30. The CTC group normally meets at 6:15, they met at 6. The Boston group normally meets at 6, they met at 5:30. What am I talking about? A.M. Dawn is the best time of day. It's a myth to think that running in the evening, you can run 11 o'clock at night, it's not as cool as 6 in the morning. You run at 2 in the morning, it's still not as cool as 6 in the morning. So if you can get out between 5 and 7 o'clock in the morning, that's kind of a great window. And then they poured water on their necks and head. A lot of people don't like doing that because they don't want to get all wet. Amazing how it dials down your thermostat almost immediately. So I was actually riding on a bicycle over on the Riverview Greenbelt paved path there with the RMR kids last Friday morning. They had a marathon pace workout to do, and I was tooling up and down the path on a mountain bike with a couple of bottles of water, the cheapy kind of water bottle that you could squeeze. And I was coming up behind them and saying, want a shot? And they were all saying yes, just posing their back of their heads as I would ride up alongside. And then more electrolytes. You got to drink more Gatorade. You got to drink more Powerade. You got to get more of that stuff in you. It seems to be basic stuff, but it's remarkable the number of folks that continue to ignore not only the tips, but the signs. And what are the signs? Disoriented, dizzy, chills. When it's 103 degrees and you're feeling cold, you better slow it down.
Yeah.
And we actually had some folks walking in the workout, towards the end of the workout, in the RMR group. Smart. Instead of going up to them saying, you're slow, why are you stopping and walking? I pat them on the back and say, you're getting A-plus today for listening to your body and being mature enough to know that this workout means nothing in the grand scheme. No one workout is worth risking your health. I want tip of the cap to a lot of the folks that helped put that triathlon on over the weekend. I noticed that there's just some familiar faces over and over again helping out, but two that jump out of Wes Radetzky and Teresa Harris. So, you know, good volunteer work on their part. We've had some new babies in the running community. Kate Pugh, the Western coach, had her second. She knows had their second child it's about 2 weeks ago now. And Kristen Henning Solomon, she and her husband Tommy had their first child. She's a Boston marathoner. So, congrats to them. The running terms, Hydra training, I keep talking about this Pool Running 101. We have a video on our website called Pool Running 101, and it's great tips on demonstrating how to run in the deep end of a pool as a substitute to your outside running on land. Two reasons this time of year to be doing it. One, to alleviate some of the stress on your knees, the obvious. So if you're running 30 miles a week and your knees are starting to hurt and you're running 5 days, you're running 6 miles 5 days, take one of those days and get in the pool.
Right.
And run for the equal amount of time that you would on land. Do a workout while you're in there. It's demonstrated in this video. It's a tremendous substitute. But also, somebody's pointed out to me recently, I'd much rather be running. Normally, people don't like to run in the pool all that much, but they're liking it this time of year because you're beating the heat.
Or it's 100 and it's, outside. Yeah,
exactly.
It feels nice.
So it's a lot cooler. Exploring on foot, we have two new parks in the Alamar County Park System. And our Alamar County Park System is second to none for an area like what we have size and demographic-wise. But Bob Krickenberger, who took the helm from Pat Mullaney, former Parks and Rec Director Bob Krickenberger, continuing to make leisure parks a priority. Parks where you can non-revenue-oriented, you go there and you can bike, you can walk, hike, you can run, and even one of these new ones, the Pretty Creek Park, which is up at off of Burnley Station Road, up 29 North. 8 miles, Mike, of wide, wide path. You can even go horseback riding there. They're allowing it. They're actually encouraging it. It's the only park we have in the county. You take your trailer out there, unhitch the horse, and away you go. Pretty cool. So horseback riding with mountain biking, with hikers, with runners. Talk about a multi-use recreational facility. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's something very soothing and relaxing about parks. Like I love to run, but sometimes when I go to parks, it's like my favorite place to take walks.
Yes.
It's just like the walk central for me.
Thank goodness these guys, Pat Mullaney, and guys like him.
It's awesome.
Krickenberger had the vision 30 years ago to do this. We've got Minch Springs for the western part. We've got Walnut Creek for the southern. We've got, of course, Chris Green. But now we've got these two new ones, Pretty Creek. And the other one I did mention is called the Patricia Ann Byram Forest Preserve. Now, this guy is the big one. It's 600 acres. It's the county's largest park. It's northwest of Whitehall, so it's way the heck out there. But for folks that live in that area of the county, they now have a park they can get to quite easily. These are not swimming parks. There's no big body of water. And the cool thing about the Patricia Ann Byram Forest Preserve is that it's rigorous hiking. It is not horseback riding. I don't even know if it's mountain biking. It's rigorous hiking, rigorous running. If you're into mountain running, trail running, this is your baby. That's going to open up sometime mid to late August at Patricia Ann Byram. The Pretty Creek one is already open. Folks have been raving about it. You 29 North folks, Forest Lakes, whatever, you now have a park really close by that you can actually get out and run without worrying about cars.
Yeah.
Also, we just finished our Dick Woods Road video tour. It's a virtual tour of one of the most challenging and beautiful soft surface road courses. It's out in the Western Almoral District. It's off of Miller School Road. In fact, it's right close by to the Miller School. Beautiful. You can go to the Charlottesville Track Club website or the Ragamount website for the Dick Woods Road video tour. Charlottesville Track Club banquet is Thursday evening, so it'll be if you're listening to this on Thursday morning,
right,
I can say it's tonight. We're cutting this on Wednesday. And next week, hopefully, I'll be able to announce who the CTC Lifetime Service Award
Very
winner
cool.
is. It's the most. Each year, we pick a person who's 10 years of service or more that has devoted their life and continues to devote their life
That's great.
To community running, nonprofit running, coaching, race directing. And then we also give out a community service award every year. We'll be able to announce that next week, who that is. And that's to a group that's non-running oriented that has given back to the sport. Past recipients have been people like Ronnie Roberts at the City Police, Brian Fox at Bodo's Bagels years ago, Craig Littlepage at UVA. He's been so gracious in allowing us to use their track facility over the years.
Right.
Pepsi Cola, who donates and donates and donates, product to our events. So it's folks like that. So
awesome.
Stay tuned for that. Marathon training program. They're meeting out at historic Green Springs out in Louisa. It's a quick drive down 64. Pick up the Route 15 exit, come off the ramp, turn left. So you're heading north towards Louisa. Go 2 miles and turn right on the Green Springs Road. Follow that for about 2 miles and you are at the parking area. It's at a beautiful St. John's Chapel there, 6:15 this Saturday. If you're looking for one of the most beautiful gravel roads, it's 20 miles of gravel roads.
Wow.
If you're looking to do a long run in the shade for the most part for your marathon training. 4 miler training program, the women's, they're halfway through.
That's good.
Joan Esposito's gang, they meet every Saturday morning at the park over at UVA. They're at 2 miles, so they're halfway to the big
there
donut,
it is.
The big goal, the women's 4 miler Labor Day weekend.
Awesome.
Runners of the week. Even though not a runner, but she runs faster than most runners. Rebecca Garson, a race walker, Brian Kazer, who took home the gold and the first across the finish line, Fairview. Amy Robbins, Greg Romali, the top triathletes. And then, of course, couldn't end it without talking one more time about Donnie Cowart, Donnie the Kid, 8:26, fourth in this international, and 3 seconds, scant 3 seconds shy of the Olympic A standard. He is positioning himself, you know, I don't want to jinx this, but I can't help find myself saying he's positioning himself to be a solid candidate for one of those spots on the U.S. Olympics.
It's great. It's great.
Next summer, God willing, he stays healthy, stays motivated, and his training goes well. So thanks for listening in, everybody, and stay on your feet. We'll talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.